The secret to building an excellent sales force is in repeating core training on basic sales skills and studying the competition.
Welcome to the ClinLab Sales Podcast, bringing fresh insight for focusing your sales strategy. Our host is Peter Francis, President of Clinical Laboratory Sales Training. And in this episode, Peter likens proven sales reps to a sales machine. Just as a car company continues on improving design and engineering, you can improve your sales productivity by mastering these seven steps to becoming the ultimate sales machine.
The Bavarian Motor Works, otherwise known as BMW, has a tagline that says, "The ultimate driving machine." Indeed, their cars are almost always rated, if not number one, certainly within the top two or three in every driving evaluation test by auto magazines such as Car and Driver and Road and Track. So what does this have to do with selling a lab service? It's not as far off as you may think. Successful salespeople are frequently referred to as machines because of their constant achievements in the field. They do the right things consistently and plow through their territories like a well-oiled device, rolling over the competition. There is little doubt that these top marketing people have been trained not only well, but also consistently by their organizations. The proven lab reps have taken the instruction seriously by putting it into practice. In essence, they have become the ultimate sales machine for their laboratory. Unfortunately, there are many labs that frequently leave quite a bit of the sales process up to the individual salesperson. There is no established formal development plan in place, or at best, even an ad hoc approach. If there is a sales manager, he may ride with his direct report occasionally and offer some constructive ideas and ways to improve, either strategically or tactically. If there is no field management oversight or otherwise formal training, the salesperson is left to, quote, dangle in the wind, often using trial and error techniques with poor and even unacceptable outcomes. This situation can cause frustration with the potential result of resignation or maybe even termination. Obviously, for a laboratory to increase its testing volume and to compete effectively, training development must become de rigueur in its overall sales and marketing plan. The secret to building an excellent sales force is in repeating core training on basic sales skills and studying the competition. It doesn't matter if the individual has had years of experience or if he or she has recently decided to try sales as an occupation. Individuals who have, quote, industry experience, end quote, may use techniques that require a great deal of what I call realignment. Sales is an art and a science. In order to be good at it, there have to be some innate core skills. But practice makes perfect. Perfecting both strategic and tactical skills is critical in building the ultimate sales machine. Strategy refers to the overall long-term position a sales rep wants to achieve with the prospect. The ultimate strategy is to be devoted to helping clients succeed. Tactics relate to the methods used for immediate or short-term gain, including a one-on-one discussion. By employing strategy first, it lays the groundwork for the tactical portion. Let's review the, what I call, lucky seven key strategic and tactical items that are the sine qua non of becoming the ultimate sales machine. Number one, establishing rapport. This is one of the most fundamental yet critical strategies of sales. In the clinical laboratory business, there are frequently a number of people involved in the decision-making process. There's one person who has the final authority, but typically there have been previous internal discussions with several people before a decision is made. Having the marketing person create a strong rapport with one person, for example, the office manager, is good from the standpoint of having a, quote, inside mentor, end quote. From an overarching strategic viewpoint, however, this is not optimal. The representative needs to climb the relationship ladder with numerous staff members, especially the doctors and nurses. This metaphorical ladder starts at the bottom with people who don't know the sales rep's name and progresses forward to the level where people know him, then are friendly to him, and then like him. The top two rungs, however, are more difficult and time-consuming. The next one up the ladder is people who respect him, and at the very top, those who value a relationship with him. These final two rungs are reached in three ways: through knowledge, through integrity, and through actions. Becoming a resource to the client is key to climbing higher up the ladder. This can be accomplished in a number of ways, such as providing information about valuable tests and profiles, handing out tear-off sheets with maps of drawing center locations and phone numbers, being resourceful at fixing a problem, giving out pertinent information, and so forth. Anything that helps the client will be appreciated, especially if it helps them with their patients. When people are being educated, they have no resistance, especially if the information is appropriate and useful. If the salesperson is more knowledgeable and accommodating than any other salesperson, they will establish client rapport easily. The one who gives his clients the best information will always slaughter the one who just wants to sell a lab service. Establishing rapport also helps in setting strategy, because the rep can learn the various roles people play, how decisions are made, and who has the most influence. Without this background knowledge, the sales rep can easily make wrong tactical moves that could compromise the sales process. The second key tactical item is finding the need. Qualifying an account means finding out the customer's needs and comparing those requirements with what your lab can offer. Qualifying also means uncovering if they are the type of client you want in the first place. For instance, potential volume, type of testing, cost to service them, and so forth. This step of qualifying requires a significant knowledge of probing. To an average person, a question is simply a question. In fact, the only thing common in a question is the punctuation mark that follows it. There are a host of question types that are designed to reveal important data in the need development process, such as situation, confirmation, attitude, commitment, implication, solution, and problem-based questions. All of these are important when employed properly, but the last one, problem-based questions, provides the raw material on which the rest of the sale will be built. It's at this point that the salesperson may want to expand upon an issue that was illuminated by the client. Asking implication questions takes a problem that the client may perceive as small and builds it into a situation that is large enough to justify action or, at a minimum, create stronger interest. Especially if the sales rep is talking to a decision maker, implication questions can be very powerful because decision makers deal in implications. To create desire, the salesperson must motivate the prospect using a combination of problem questions and solutions, even if the rep is the one pointing out the issue that the client has not really considered. This all leads to the next point. Number three, build value through linkage. Contrary to a popular thought, labs are not a commodity. Oh, sure, you could say that a CBC with one lab is much the same as a CBC at another lab. But going beyond the actual routine testing component, each lab has certain strengths that can be thought of as basic differences. Uncovering these differences within a lab is central to a rep's method of differentiating and building value. People select a lab service based on what it will do for them, their office, and their patients, and partly on how they feel about dealing with a representative. Besides keeping this at the forefront of his mind, the marketing person also needs to remember that there are frequently numerous individual agendas, both personal and business, involved in the decision-making process. Therefore, building value based on specific agendas is critical during the selling process. This is accomplished through differentiation that is linked to individual needs. Benefits can be categorized into five buckets. There are operational, they're cultural, financial benefits, there are political benefits, and finally, strategic. Peeling back the onion to uncover customer issues and then aligning them with the appropriate benefit will yield better opportunities than a commodity solution that results in appearing as another Me Too lab. The perceived value is where a lab's basic differences coincide with the individual's personal and/or professional agenda. Someone who is frustrated with long turnaround time of supplies will probably be interested in knowing about your lab's strict 24-hour policy of delivering supplies. That would be an operational benefit. The doctor who is annoyed with receiving preliminary culture reports late the following day because the courier doesn't return to the lab until the evening will be interested in the fact that your courier arrives at the lab in the mid-afternoon. This means that the microbiology department can plate cultures immediately, allowing for earlier preliminary results. That's an operational and a strategic benefit, which equals better patient care. The person who calls the customer care department and has to typically wait on hold for many minutes will be interested in knowing about your lab's average hold time of just a few seconds. That would be an operational benefit. The fact that your lab's pathologist was a classmate of a healthcare provider might prove very helpful in securing the business. That would be a political benefit. The point is, the more a lab sales rep can link how his lab is different and how it can solve individual problems, the higher the representative can climb up the value chain. The fourth point, overcoming objections. There are two components to this section. The first part involves definitions and understanding what objections can be. The phrase overcoming objections is a common one used in most sales training classes. There can be a difference, however, between an objection and an underlying issue. Objections are frequently the visible effect. There is something concealed within a person's mind. He feels like he's going to lose if he agrees to use your lab services. Consequently, he masks his underlying issue by devising other excuses and so-called objections. An underlying issue is what the person is mentally thinking about. It's subjective, it's intangible, and it's typically personal. An underlying issue needs to be dealt with as soon as the sales rep recognizes that his prospect feels he is losing. Never judge an underlying issue and deny its validity because we are talking about someone's innermost feelings. The second part of this topic of overcoming objections deals with the ways in which to reduce or eliminate so-called objections. It's important to recognize the underlying issue or so-called objection, and the sales rep agrees that he understands the client's concern. The prospect will typically drop his guard and his defensive shield will start to melt away. By addressing his client's objection with a solution, the rep has moved the sale forward. It's important, however, to understand that the sales rep should not offer a solution before he has built up the need by talking about the value of using his laboratory. It has been proven through research that the more objections a salesperson encounters from a client, the less likely he will be successful in closing the business. By building value, which is point number three, objections can be minimized or even eliminated. If the client stated a major objection as, quote, "Oh, it's a hassle to change labs," the representative has not done enough upfront questioning, primarily by using implication questions, to counterbalance or even eliminate the, quote, "hassle" objection. The rep has not demonstrated the value of using his lab. In essence, objection prevention is obviously a superior strategy than objection handling. Point number five, closing. The definition of closing is anything that puts the customer in a position involving some kind of commitment. To put it another way, the salesperson invites or implies a commitment in such a way that the buyer's next statement either accepts or denies commitment. Research has shown the more closing techniques a sales rep uses, the more successful he is more likely to be. Many sales experts recommend closing frequently during a call. Indeed, closing is by far the most important of all selling skills, but there are many viewpoints on the subject as to when a sales rep should close and the kind of technique he should use. In fact, the best technique is to have the customer close himself. The first step in successful closing is to set the right objectives. The rep needs to know what level of commitment will be needed to make the call a success. relatively few first-time calls into a doctor's office will immediately lead to a yes. I want to use your lab for all of my testing needs starting next week. Boy, wouldn't that be sweet. But they probably haven't said a flat-out no, don't ever come back, either. It usually ends up with the account agreeing to see the representative again at a future point in time. As previously stated, closing is anything that puts the customer in a position involving some kind of commitment. Having the client get involved with the forward progression of the sale is optimal. Examples may be asking to get an appointment with the decision maker, or coming in for a lab tour, or providing some competitive information. Assuming the sales rep stated initially what his objective was for the call, and the customer agreed to that commitment, then the call could be considered a success and closed for that particular objective. It will undoubtedly take numerous interactions to reach a final, yes, our office will switch to your lab. All of these have been the result of positive advances, or what we call mini closes, with the customer. The first successful strategy for obtaining customer commitment is to concentrate attention on the finding the need, or the investigational stage, as I mentioned as point number two previously. If a sales rep can convince the prospect that he needs what the sales rep is offering, then he'll often close the sale himself. Point number six, industry knowledge. Building the ultimate sales machine requires not only strategic and tactical components, but also background technical knowledge. We can't forget that marketing people are selling a clinical laboratory service. It only seems appropriate that they should have some basic understanding of the clinical application of tests, the test acronyms, some disease states, methodologies, and supplies, just to name several technical areas. Common diseases and pathologies such as hepatitis, birth defects, genetic abnormalities, cancer, cardiac illnesses, sexually transmitted diseases, and more should be reviewed with the representative. It doesn't have to be a deep understanding from a scientific sense. In fact, going into too much detail can be boring and make the client tune out. A simple, here's the test name, here's some alternate names, what it clinically measures, how to submit it, the turnaround time, in what department it's performed, the methodology, and finally, what doctor would typically order this test? Familiarity with these topics can distinguish representatives and impress customers with that all-important value currency known as knowledge. In addition to the clinical aspect, reps need to be trained on the lab's connectivity options, understanding IT lingo, how each application works, the time it takes to install, what testing and revenue volume requirements are associated with each type of option, what other vendors may be involved. All of these are necessary for sales reps to have a firm understanding so they can come across as knowledgeable and resourceful to their customers. Point number seven, client relationship management, is the last point I want to make. There is a lot of effort made in gaining new business. The issue is that sometimes marketing people start taking for granted their accounts once they're on board. It costs about 6 times more to get a new client than to sell something additional to a current client. To build a strong client base with the ultimate sales machine, a consistent method of client follow-up and follow-through is essential. The relationship between the rep and the client should intensify after the sale because it helps keep the business. What happens is that the sale consummates the courtship, at which point the marriage begins. How good the marriage is depends on how well the marketing person manages the relationship. The quality of the marriage depends on whether there will be continued or even expanded business or trouble and divorce. Visibility plays a key role in managing the relationship. The rep needs to keep the client informed of things like ICD-10 coding changes, the lab's newsletter, a test offering, a new methodology, or maybe a change in supplies. While these things may seem like conspicuous sales duties, it's not uncommon for reps to think that because the courier dropped off information or the lab sent it via mail or email, like in a newsletter, that everyone in the office knows about it. Talking to numerous people within the account and keeping them updated is a major responsibility of the field rep. Not only does it maintain up-to-date information with a customer, but it also helps to build those ever-important rapport bonds that are a shield against competitive threats. Another important point about client bonding. Not only is it important for the lab to train their field staff about what their expectations are of client relationship management, but also that has to be balanced against asking the client, including the healthcare providers, what his expectation is of the representative. There have been research studies that indicate that it's more effective and sales reps can win over clients by developing exactly the type of relationship the customer wants and then perform that better than the competition. Upselling is another important component of building long-lasting relationships. The goal of all labs is to see increased business coming from their customer base. Upselling on tests and profiles, accepted insurances, tests sent to a competitor lab and draw center locations is an integral part of the after-the-sale ingredient. Two basic things matter in a client relationship: with whom you have them and how you are regarded by them. If the rep has built solid relationships with all of the key staff members and healthcare providers and has reached the top rungs of the relationship ladder, then they have fashioned a strong bond that will withstand any force from a competitor, barring, of course, political or sole source insurance contracts. Unfortunately, this type of alliance is not always found, leaving the door open for a competitor to enter and impress the client with knowledge, integrity, and actions. Like any other assets, relationships can appreciate or depreciate depending upon the individual and how he relates or not to his clients. Much of it comes down to three things: what he does, how he does it, and how consistently he does it. It's as important to preserving and enhancing the intangible asset commonly known as goodwill as is the management of hard assets. All right, then, let's summarize what I've said. Building the ultimate sales machine of your lab means providing consistent training in the conflation of strategical, tactical, and technical aspects. In addition, combining practical application and management oversight will help form a polished, professional, and revenue-producing representative. Just as BMW continuously pursues improving its cars, your sales team can ameliorate your lab's revenues and reputation by perfecting these seven steps in an effort to become the ultimate sales machine.
You've been listening to the ClinLab Sales Podcast. If you want to get all the episodes, you can subscribe using iTunes or any podcast application you like. If you found this valuable, please leave a review at iTunes. That helps a lot. For more information or to contact Peter Francis for sales training, visit clinlabsales.com. Thanks for listening.